Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on this Monday. Full up on the Duncan Newsmaker line. We'll head up to Huntsville, Alabama in just a second. When I was talking about Terry and Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry, it actually started down a different path that I'll get to later in this week. But it was about Eli Ricks. Now, I thought that kid would just step onto campus and be the stud, the 1A, and it didn't happen. And there was an injury, and he had to learn the system, and there was other stuff. But some of the other stuff was Terry and Arnold. So Terry and Arnold he's like, nah, I'm taking a job if I can take a job. And that always impresses me when somebody says, no. Just because everybody else thinks this, maybe I'm the one at 85. I'm not giving up. You at least have to beat me. Eli Ricks. Now, this is down the path that I was heading towards. Last year, Eli Ricks, who eventually won that job, he's an NFL corner. Eli Ricks, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch, all of them were underclassmen who declared and got drafted high last year. Alabama lost one game to a playoff team with an NFL quarterback. Like that, folks, it didn't slip. It didn't look the same always, but it didn't slip. I can promise you that. Want to welcome on right now. We're going to talk a lot of stuff from Alabama and the spring game and everything else. From ESPN 97.7 in Huntsville, it's Drew DeArmond. Drew, how's your Monday?
It's doing good, Chuck. How are you, brother?
Doing all right. Just a bone throw to Terry and Arnold, because I've said I'm always impressed when kind of the kid who's not the five-star, who's already been all SEC at LSU, when that kid says, no, you at least have to beat me. Like, I'm not just, you know, conceding this like all the fans on the message board. Talk about Terry. And I know there was the injury and there was other stuff, but, you know, tell us about Terry and Arnold, because that kid turned him into, like, what, a top 15 pick maybe?
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people thought he was underrated coming out of high school, Chuck. Many people that I trust thought he was a five-star talent, but if people forget, he was also a four-star level point guard coming out as far as basketball. And in some cases, he wanted to, you know, play both sports. And I know very briefly he talked to Nate Oates and thought about trying to play both sports at Alabama. But once you get in the machine that Nick Saban had built and he realized, you know, how far he had to come as a football player, that didn't last. But he's an outstanding high school basketball player, great athlete from, you know, in the city of Tallahassee. In Florida, and he was a guy that I think a lot of people thought had tremendous upside once he focused on football, and that's what happened. I mean, he didn't take, and you're kind of referring to that, the conventional path in Alabama. He wasn't one of these guys like Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, started as a sophomore, as a junior, played as a freshman. You could see the talent in him early on. Terrion took a little bit longer. He had to redshirt. He had to get stronger. He had to up the mental game a little bit, learn the defense. But then his natural talent took over. And, you know, he left last year. A guy like Marlon Humphrey, you could kind of compare those two. Marlon left after he was a redshirt sophomore. Same way with Terrion. I think Terrion has much of the same kind of characteristics as a player that Marlon's had. He's had a really good pro career. The one thing with Terrion, I think he's long and athletic enough to play safety or nickel in addition to corner. So he should be one of these guys that has a long career. He'll probably start as a corner in the NFL, maybe be able to play both places, maybe the nickel and, you know, play outside. And then later in his career, do a Kareem Jackson and move to safety. But Terrion Arnold's a high character kid. He approached things the right way. A lot of these kids this day and time with a transfer portal and NIL, They don't want a red shirt. They don't want to wait their turn, but he certainly did. And because he did that, and he took coaching hard. He could take hard coaching from Nick Saban and from Treverius Robinson, and he became a great player.
Yeah, Kenny Stabler would not have played baseball if Nick Saban was head coach. All right, let's talk.
Correct.
Let's talk about cornerback then. We'll get to Jalen Milroe and all that, I promise. But talk about replacing two absolute studs at corner then, because there are other kids running around that can play. Everybody wants all the corners on that roster. But talk about the cream rising during spring.
Well, that's true. And I will say, give a real quick comment on Kool-Aid McKinstry and stand on my soapbox. There's a reason that Terrion Arnold became a first-round pick, because everybody tried to pick on Terrion Arnold. Nobody threw to Kool-Aid's side because he's that good. He did that for 2 years. I think both of them should be first-round draft choices. But you're right, some big shoes to fill at corner for Alabama. They went into the transfer portal and got Damani Jackson from Southern Cal. He's a former five-star kid who seriously considered the University of Alabama. Coming out of high school, went to USC, probably needs some refinement, but I know he impressed the coaching staff this spring. He's going to be one of the front runners at one of those corner spots, no question about it. Then you're going to probably, see a lot of young guys. I know they're very, very excited about Jalen Mbakwe, who's another kind of freakazoid athlete like Terrion Arnold, who played multiple spots in high school. He was a quarterback this year, but played DB and wide receiver for much of his career the first 3 years at Clay, and then played situationally defensive back last year. I know that they were very impressed with him this spring and his upside. I had someone that I trust very much that said he looked really, really good on film. So it'll be interesting to see how much better he can get. I mean, they've also got Zabian Brown, who I thought stood out in the spring game, Chuck. He had a tackle for loss near the goal line. He always seemed to be in the right place. He got his hands on a few footballs as well. Zay Mincy is another one from the state of Florida who's very long and athletic. He may start out at the nickel spot. He's another one that's got a lot of range and flexibility. But I will say this, the transfer portal opens tomorrow. I would not be surprised after Trey Amos left to go to Ole Miss if Alabama is aggressive in trying to add maybe an experienced corner to the room and maybe another versatile safety or nickel candidate in the defensive backfield to help those young guys like the Red Morgans and the Bray Hubbards and some of these younger DBs. They've got a lot of good young ones, no question about it, Peyton Woodyard, but they might want to add a corner and another versatile DB to the room before fall practice starts.
This guy knows about it. When it comes to Alabama football, this guy knows. ESPN 97.7 there in Huntsville. We're talking with Drew DeArmond. All right. What I was not expecting was after the Alabama spring game, I would have to learn the pronunciation of a receiver. I thought I knew everybody. And I told folks, it's like Jeremy if you just mush it together. Jeremy Bernard. Talk about that kid, because I said fourth option at UW. Well, the first three were pretty good options for Michael Penix. Talk about Bernard.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing behind three top 50 draft picks, and so he's had to wait his turn. He's also had an interesting journey, because his freshman year he was at Michigan State catching passes from Peyton Thorne. So then he transfers to Washington and has a good year, had nearly 500 yards receiving. He had over 100 in the A-Day game. The thing that I've heard described about him is he has kind of a junkyard dog mentality. He's a very physical guy. He doesn't mind blocking. He also doesn't mind going up high, pointing a ball. He did that early in the first quarter with Jalen Milroe. Then he had, of course, a nice little sideline route that with a nice throw and run after the catch where Milroe hit him heading up the sideline. So he looks like he's definitely going to bring some mentality and moxie to that room. I think he's going to make an impact, no question about it. I think he's going to help the receivers that are returning, like the Kendrick Laws and Cole Adams, who had a nice game, Kobe Prentice. He already knows the scheme really well. So he'll actually be teaching a lot of these guys how to play in this offense. But I don't doubt at all with his relationship with Jamarcus Shepherd, he's going to be a leader in that room, and I think he's going to be an impact transfer that makes plays for Alabama come the fall.
Absolutely true. So take it to the biggest picture possible then. And I said this wasn't supposed to be a slight, because despite what we were all like, you know, just throwing tomatoes at Tommy Rees after the South Florida thing, he rebounded. I think Tommy Rees, by like November, we were all going, okay, he did a pretty good job. This Kalen DeBoer has a sterling resume, and I've said Jalen Milroe, he's just going to get better coaching. That's just what it is. Talk about how that's going now, because at least it's been a spring now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the offense is going to be completely different. It's more timing-based, rhythm-based. It's going to help Jalen Milroe try to, become a pro prospect. I think, you know, he was an inexperienced guy last year under Tommy Rees, so they had to put some training wheels on the offense. They had to, and again, it wasn't a definitively, the job wasn't definitively won until the fall and the season began. Once after that South Florida game, it was Jalen Milroe's team, and he got better every week. And as you said, there was a huge difference from early September to November in Jalen Milroe.
Yes,
I mean, and then in December, just ask Georgia. So he did a lot of great things. Now he's going to try to take it to the next level as a passer. But yet I think, Kalen DeBoer still wants him to use his athleticism, but it's going to be very interesting to see how his development continues to arch when fall comes around. I know he spent tons of time in the film room. They've loved his approach. He's a natural leader with the group. I still think he has the quarterback room as far as the leadership and trying to – I mean, he had his handprints and his footprints put in the cement on Saturday, and is very likely going to be a team captain again this year. Now, I will say this, iron sharpens iron. I thought Ty Simpson came a long way this spring. I thought if you go by his level of play, he probably outplayed Milroe in all three scrimmages, but there's more to it than that. You have to lead the football team. You have to gain everyone's confidence. And again, Jalen Milroe is studying his butt off, and I think he's really grinding and trying to learn this. Plus, you got to understand something, too. I mean, I think when Ty Simpson got to Alabama, he was a more polished passer than Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe is a freakazoid athlete who is coming along at the quarterback spot. But you made a great point. There's nobody better than Kalen DeBoer with what he did with Michael Penix, first as OC and then as head coach, making him into a pro prospect. Jalen Milroe has every physical tool you want. He has the arm. He has the athleticism. He has the mobility. He just needs to get better from the neck up, and I think that's what's happening. And I'm anxious to see how much better he gets by the time the fall rolls around. And with Ty Simpson pushing him, that will only make both guys better. So I think he's happy with the quarterback room. You've got a developmental guy like Austin Mack, who you know very well is going to be 18 in June, who you can bring along slowly. And then you've got a guy like Dylan Lonergan, who's another very intriguing arm talent guy. But it's definitely Milroe's job with Ty Simpson behind him. And just really looking forward to seeing how he continues to develop. And the offensive line is going to be a big part of that too, because I think Alabama's going to add five or six portal guys. One of them is already Caden Proctor, and I wouldn't be surprised if the right tackle is not on the team yet either, and they try to add another starter-level tackle out of the transfer portal for the University of Alabama.
You had reminded me of a conversation, because I think Bernard is an NFL guy. I think he's just waiting for that opportunity, and maybe that's this year. An Auburn fan, I thought this guy, Peyton Thorne, I thought he was good at Michigan State. I was like, well, he might have had three NFL receivers. Because remember, Jaden Reed, it's not just Keon Coleman. Jaden Reed was a second-round draft pick.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah, and people forget, you know, they had it rolling there for a while before the wheels came off. And
yep,
so they had some good players. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you give a guy NFL receivers, and they look pretty good on Saturday. So, Drew, I appreciate you coming on today, friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, Drew DeArmond again up in ESPN Huntsville. So, yeah, he brought it up, not me, and I certainly didn't want to necessarily think about that, because those were the good days, and it shows you that if you have NFL guys, at least a couple of them upperclassmen, because everybody knows Keon Coleman, and Jaden Reed's there with him. Same time. And so that's a good start. And then Bernard as well. And then, boom, he's out to UW and now back to the Yellowhammer State. But I've talked like Jaden Daniels. When he was transferring to LSU, it was fair for someone who maybe had not watched or didn't know, or maybe never heard of him, Well, he was really good as a freshman. I said he had an NFL receiver. It makes man coverage the easiest thing in the world. All right, where's my best guy? I'm throwing it to him. If nothing else, and when you're a true freshman and you're starting at a place like Arizona State, the Pac-12, all right, here it comes. Here's the pressure. Where's my guy? All right, I'm throwing it to you. Makes it easy. But when you got three or four future NFL guys, yeah, Auburn fan will take what he saw at Michigan State. Auburn fan would like what she saw when he was a Spartan. But maybe that is on the horizon for 2024 because it's a little different when they're maybe grown man or grown man-ish. But Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson and Bryce Kane and the fourth one that I can't remember. So maybe it's all getting better there. All right, we're going to break and we will continue next.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on this Monday. A particular limitation for the majority of college football programs should be an opportunity. Almost all will pass on that opportunity. I'm talking about not having name, image, likeness money. And when you don't have name, image, likeness money, you can't afford to do business in today's college football environment. And so that limitation, when I've already talked about the collectives, already some of them shutting down, and I think that at the end of September, the end of the first month of the season, sometimes you start a season and you don't know what to think about a particular matchup. Sometimes you don't know what to think of a particular team. Like, is the most high-profile week one game USC and LSU? Is that right? Okay. If you look at week one this year, week zero, there's almost nothing going on. And then the traditional week one, what do we have? That Miami-Florida matchup, I'm in. Georgia-Clemson, we've talked about that as well. It's not the deep. Notre Dame-Texas A&M is a good thing. I mean, there are some that have some brand names to it, but there's not a whole lot on this week one schedule that I'm going to look at LSU and Southern Cal in Vegas. Okay, that's got the, like, BC-Florida State the next night, just doesn't do it as much. It just doesn't. And so when I say I don't know what to make of certain teams going into the season, that's normal. That happens every year after week one, two, three, or even four. We go, oh, I probably got them wrong. I'm looking at USC, LSU in week one, and I'm trying to decide what I think about one of those teams. And I have a question. Did you watch them with the Heisman-winning quarterback? Am I talking about USC or LSU? Because it's a different version of the same thing. They weren't great. I'm trying to decide either USC or LSU. I'm not going to tell you who I was thinking about. And my number one question was, I was like, they got to get better. They got to do this and the improvement here. I was like, wait a minute. Did you watch them with the Heisman-winning quarterback? Folks, it's both of them. So the number one matchup in week one, I don't know anything about either of them. You lost a Heisman winner at quarterback. It's a vacuum. It happens. And so the season will start every year. There's a team or two or three, and we go, oh, wow, I was wrong about them. At the end of the first month of the season, I believe we're going to go, some bigger picture has happened than I was off about how I thought South Carolina would be. And I think that there's a monetary separation going on right now. Like, it's already happened, and it'll play out once there are games. Then we'll see it play out and go, oh, okay, this name, image, likeness thing actually has been a big detriment. But that's months down the road. If you don't have name, image, likeness money, you still can win games. You just have to kind of redesign the mousetrap. Doesn't have to be necessarily better, maybe different. maybe more affordable. Well, hey, how can we win at such a cutthroat, wildly expensive 85-player sport like college football if we don't have money? If we're going to do it more affordable way, do it a different way that may give you close enough and similar results. Now, what I'm going to say, you can't win a national championship doing. When I say you can't, you cannot win a national championship doing this. You can win a good number of games, and you may even win your conference. We are going to see a few programs try different sorts of offenses, and I mean a lot more triple option or at least double option. What Jamie Chadwell does, I don't even know what you call that, for instance, but that, like, think about that, where maybe it's not Nebraska saying, let's get the five-star quarterback who can stand in the pocket and just shoot a howitzer all over the field. That guy cost a lot of money. Every five-star does, every four-star does, a lot of the three-star does, and every quarterback in the portal is looking for cash. Do you know who's not looking for cash? Somebody who runs a triple or even double option. Double option, just you don't have a fullback. You don't have a lead blocker. Double option is quarterback and a pitch man. There's your double option. And so those guys, many times it's a different profile of a kid. It's a defiant kid who does not want to be moved to corner or maybe defensive end. Maybe wide receiver. He's like, no, I'm a quarterback. And everybody knows if you're going to go to the NFL, you're going to have to switch positions. But if you really want to play a quarterback, I'll let you play quarterback. And that happens all the time. Justin Thomas at Georgia Tech, he could play corner for Nick Saban, maybe been a first round draft pick. Who knows? Nick Saban was like, I can turn you into a college corner who the NFL will love. He's like, I'm a quarterback. And he was from Montgomery, maybe, or Prattville. I'm trying to remember. And he's like, no, scholarship to go play for Nick Saban? He's like, Georgia Tech, here I come. I want to play quarterback. And he played it really, really, really well. Wasn't he the quarterback on that Orange Bowl team? They ripped up Mississippi State like a good Bernardrick McKinney Mississippi State defense. That is going to be the approach. The let's do something different and start with quarterback, because that's where we can get the widest gulf between what we pay for the kid, which if we're paying in opportunity, we're paying in snaps, we're paying in his ability to play versus changing positions. The other team just pay him in money. And so there is something to be said for a different approach at that position, because like I said, that's where you can make up a whole lot of that payroll with the right one kid.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Show.
Half the SECs on the field this past Saturday. You could have seen all of it but the Kentucky game, because Mark Stoops was like, yeah, no streaming, no TV, no nothing. But trust us, we'll send you some reports. But everybody else you could see if you had one of the pluses. UGA got after it from on three. Dogs HQ is where you're going to find Palmer Toms. Palmer, welcome back to the program, friend. How you been?
Doing well. Just coming down from what's always an exciting weekend of G-Day, and then you throw in the Masters. And this Monday feels a little bit uneventful compared to the last few days.
Talk about Saturday's environment. We'll get to the players and who did what, but I've always talked about that first game. I think it was back spring of 16 when Kirby decided, I'm going to weaponize this fan base. And he called it out, 93K Day and the recruiting and all that. What about this past Saturday? What was the environment around the stadium? Because Georgia fans kind of used to winning now.
little bit different, you know, in terms of a recruiting at weekend. They certainly had a lot of big-time prospects there. But in terms of the fan atmosphere, it was a little bit different. For the second straight year, they've got half the stadium closed off, working on renovations. So instead of seeing 93K, you were probably seeing 30K, you know, maybe 40. I think the attendance was listed at 55, but it did not look that way. And I don't think that that's an indictment on Georgia fans. I think that is just the reality of the situation of, you know, hey, the stadium cannot hold as many people as it normally can. And, you know, they want to make sure that, you know, hey, we can't hold 93K for a spring game, but we'll, you know, you bet your butt we'll have 93K in there for Tennessee Tech in early September.
Can I ask you how long you followed Georgia or been aware, paid attention to them?
Yeah, I 2017, 2018, early Kirby Smart years.
Okay, well, if we go back, I don't know, like 20 years, whenever it was, almost 20 years, DJ Shockley was the quarterback in the SEC championship game, led them to the SEC title, and the next day there was like this big two-page special about this recruit, Matt Stafford, who was coming to Athens, and all Georgia fans could talk about was Matt Stafford. I'm like, DJ literally yesterday won you an SEC title, and like, that's just human nature. It's always about the new, the next, the guy we haven't seen. He's going to be the best ever. All this talk about London Humphreys and then Colby Young, Dominic Lovett showed, no, I've been here and I've waited and I'm not waiting anymore. Like, this is going to be my position. He wants to put a hammer lock on something. Is that what he did this spring?
No, I see what you're going for there. And I do think that Dominic Lovett had himself a very big spring establishing himself. You know, we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and just listening to him talk about how comfortable he is with this offense now. You know, last year, this time last year, he was picking it up. He was said that he was, you know, doing flip cards and you know, trying to take in over 100 plays. And it was just a lot for him. And I think that we saw that at times last year. I also think that you look at Dom's best games that came when Brock Bowers wasn't on the field. Obviously, when Brock Bowers was on the field, when Ladd McConkey was on the field, those are your go-to guys. I think that we're going to see a lot of Dominic Lovett this year without those two pass catchers as the primary options. And, you know, that's not a knock on the new guys. That's not a knock on Dylan Bell, who I also think is going to have a really great season. I just think that we didn't see everything that Dominic Lovett was capable of last season. I think that they are continuing to get comfortable with how they're going to use him, how they're going to best utilize his skill sets. And I think that we saw that on Saturday as he went for over 100 yards.
You mentioned Dylan Bell there, and I remember when he was just a receiver, and I was like, that's kind of a thick-looking kid. I like his skill set. Like, what's he going to turn into? I didn't think part-time tailback. I credit the kid. He stepped up, and he took some carries. There's no plan for him to still do that, is there?
No, Georgia, I mean, there was no plan for him to do that last year. It was more a situation of they needed it because, you know, they were so thin at that position. And honestly, I just published a story. You know, the running back position was one that really caught my eye on Saturday. And normally you think spring game, pass-heavy setting. Yeah. You know, you're not going to see a bunch of the running backs. But they managed to catch my eye. You know, I came away very impressed with the trio that Georgia's got with Trevor Etienne, Roderick Robinson, and Andrew Paul. Those guys certainly can run the ball, especially behind this offensive line. We didn't see that as much, but they still managed 4.5 yards a carry. But then they got involved in the passing game as well. And I think that is something that Georgia hasn't lacked, but think back to 2022 with how big of a weapon that was with Kenny McIntosh. I think that we could see something like that with Trevor Etienne this year. He's a back that I think brings a little bit of something different to this Georgia offense that we maybe haven't seen since DeAndre Swift was in town, you know, back in 2019. Yep. You know, the Sony Michel comp, I could see that. He brings a really interesting game to the table for Georgia. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of headlines that have been out there about him this spring. And, you know, he's owned up to his mistakes. Kirby has owned up to the mistakes that he made and said that Etienne has, you know, certainly grown from those. And he's been proud of the way that he's handled that situation. And I think that he's in for a big season this year, putting all of that behind the offseason noise behind him.
All right. So I have said this strictly not as criticism, but as observational, that for like 4 years, I had folks tell me in Athens, man, if people just knew how athletic Charlie Werner is, man, if they just knew what he could do. And I'm like, he had 9 catches last year. You know, like, I need to see it at some point. Then he just got $12 million from an NFL team. So maybe they were right all along. I've heard Oscar Delp like, man, if he just gets his chance full time. Well, he got to start some last year, but it's going to be different now that Brock's like really gone. What's your opinion of what's ahead for Oscar Delp?
Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of Oscar Delp this season. And I think that you're right. We did get a taste of what Oscar Delp can be as a pass catcher with the games that he played and, you know, made a big impact, a big catch early on against Florida, a touchdown in that Orange Bowl. The kid can play football. Now, I will add this. Georgia does bring in Stanford tight end Ben Jurasek, who you look at his tape and he does a lot of the same things that Brock Bowers does. I have to think that Ben Jurasek coming in with just 1 year of eligibility is going to be playing that Brock Bowers number one tight end role. But I also think that we're going to probably not see as much counted on of that number one tight end and more counted on that number one A, number one B tight end with Oscar Delp being, you know, maybe a bigger, better blocker, kind of like that Charlie Werner mold that you said. But I think that they're going to be able to utilize him, you know, as a pass catcher as well. And, you know, look, the sky is, you know, I am sky high on this Georgia passing game going into this season because of all these guys that we're mentioning. The running backs can get involved with Trevor Etienne, Roger Grovins, and Andrew Paul. The receivers, you've obviously got a lot of depth with Dominic Lovett, Dylan Bell, Colby Young, Arian Smith, Ra-Ra Thomas, you name it, they've got it. And then the tight ends certainly add to that as well. So, you know, I think that the you know, there is a very, very high ceiling for this Georgia passing game.
All right. I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't want to put words in your mouth to lead you because I want to know what you think about Carson Beck. And I want to say, I think I have to include this because some Georgia fans like want to treat Mike Bobo like a pinata. And I'm like, no, he's a really good coach. I think Carson Beck can be the first overall NFL pick. And part of that is Mike Bobo has to step on the accelerator and call the plays and all that. I think all of that can happen this year. I don't see a lot of limitations on Carson Beck. Give me your opinion, though.
Yeah, no, you are not putting words in my mouth there because I completely agree that Carson can be the number one overall pick. And, you know, what everything that I just said about that passing game, it all predicates around the fact that I think Carson Beck can be the best player in all of college football. I think he can win a Heisman Trophy. I think he can be the number one overall pick. That's not his priority. You know, he is prioritizing being a team player. Yep. And doing what is asked of him. But I do think that Georgia knows that what they've got with him this year, and they know that the strength that they've got in that pass-catching group, you know, maybe that they're not as experienced at running back. Now, when you put them behind an offensive line that is as massive and can open holes the way that that group can, they can do things on the ground. But I think that Georgia's strength is going to be through the air this year because of Beck, because of the receivers. I completely agree with you there that Georgia is going to press that issue a little bit more this season. You know, I felt like they did it last season too. They pressed that issue a little bit more with the passing game, you know, in the weapons that they had there. They've got that again. They've got a quarterback capable of doing it. And I think that we're going to see big things out of the Georgia passing offense this year.
Last question for our Trost reporter for UGA from Dogs HQ. It's an on three effort. This is Palmer Toms. All right, Javon Bullard. This is not even provocative to say. I think he was as tough as anybody on that defense last year, and he spent a lot of time near the line of scrimmage or even past it sometimes. Who replaces him? Because it's like that was not the biggest kid on that defense, and man, he's tough.
Yeah, you know, I look at the defense, and they came away, you know, like I said earlier, the running backs surprised me a lot. The defense surprised me a lot on Saturday because for all the talk that we've heard this spring about the scrimmages and about the daily practices, the offense has been the group that has been leading the way. And G-Day and that pass-heavy setting is an environment that typically puts up a lot of yards and a lot of points, and that defense did their job. Both sides of the ball, both sides of, you know, the scrimmage there with the red and the black team, both sides held the opposing offense to just 10 points in each of the halves. So the defense did their job. I think that when you're looking for the physical presence that Georgia is going to have, to me, it starts up front and it's Mykel Williams. But if you look at that back end where Georgia's got, a lot of holes to replace between Kamari Lassiter at corner, Tyke Smith at star, Yvonne Bullard at safety. To me, the defense and the secondary really held their own. I'm very interested to see what Ja'Cory Thomas can do this spring, or coming out of this spring and going into this offseason. He's somebody that we heard a lot of positive stuff about, very much held his own on Saturday. But the thing that really struck me about the defense was that they did what they did without two of their top three defenders, and that being Malachi Starks on the back end and Smile Mundin there in the middle. So, having a guy like Malachi playing next to whoever is replacing Javon Bullard will certainly help them out.
Palmer, I miss the original varsity. I'll say it. I appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Palmer Times, Dogs HQ, I'm on three. If you don't know who the varsity is, it's a chili dog joint in Athens, opened in the 30s. And about 3-4 years ago, it finally closed. Valuable, valuable property. And it's hard to kind of, I don't know, when you got like 9 acres right there in, right on the corner of campus, and it's been there since the 30s. Well, now that's kind of valuable property. So it's hard to, make it up $1.55 at a time with a chili dog. But I miss it, man. So the varsity's gone. Everybody's got those. Did Nick Saban say he had never been to Rammer Jammers? That he didn't, or he didn't know what he had heard about it? Or I'm trying to remember. Everybody has those. Every college town has those. And so Georgia had one, and off it went. All right, we break. We will come back. Wrap up next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The first thing was getting the right people in the right seats. That was the players. And then it was getting the right coaches in the right spot. Making that decision, for me to be self-respective enough to say, I need to be around the defense more. I need to be around the special teams more. I need to do more with NIL. I need to do more with the team. So I think this is an opportunity to really free some of that time up.
I can be head coach of this program now. I have been so immersed in the offense. As Ryan Day, he's the Ohio State head coach. I said earlier, Ryan Day's playing games. Like, he's playing the game right now that you're supposed to. Keep the quarterbacks as happy as possible. And then also, I really believe he handed Chip Kelly's not going anywhere to caddy. Chip Kelly, he got the keys, man. You drive this. For real, real. Now, Lane Kiffin, when he was at FAU, I want to say Kendall Browse came down because he still had stink on him. He had to get back in, and he did eventually. Wait a minute. You have the same last name as that other guy. Yeah, it's my dad. So Kendall Briles was exiled to Boca, if that's a thing. And he was going to call plays. Look, I want to get back in the game, but come on, Lane. I'm only going to do it if I really get to call plays. And Lane's like, all right. And so we had Lane on. I was like, so what are you going to do actually during the games? Because call plays is what you do. And he said, I'm going to be bored to death. He says, I have no idea what I'm actually going to do if I'm not calling plays. And so it didn't work for him, not as much as calling plays works for him. So he moved on and did his thing. Well, Ryan Day, it's different. It may not have worked quite as well for Ryan Day on a week-to-week basis as it did for Lane Kiffin. So when Lane Kiffin gave up the play calling, he was sad face. Ryan Day, he's handed over to somebody who's better, and it's going to work. Chip Kelly, it's going to work. At least that's what I believe is going to happen at Ohio State in the coming season with that combination of coaches and everything else. It's just a really, really strong group. So good for them. Busy day on the Duncan Newsmaker line today. Appreciate everybody coming here for your college football conversation. We had Josh Ward from Josh and Swain, Sports Animal, Knoxville, on Talking UT. Truest reporter for Alabama from ESPN 97.7 in Huntsville, Drew DeArmond. Then Palmer Toms talking UGA, Dogs HQ. That's an on-three thing. So those are our guests today. And, again, appreciate everybody coming here. Going to be wrapping up now for the Monday program. And we have all but maybe four SEC games, I think, coming up this Saturday. And the portal opens tomorrow. And that is the big deal that everybody is paying attention to. There's a very unpopular opinion to have in 2024. It's very unpopular because it's this umbrella that, like, we don't even want to say what is actually cold, hard truth. The very unpopular opinion that is actually cold, hard truth: college-age humans need other people, and I mean older people, more experienced people, people who may have failed, succeeded, stubbed toe, stood back up. College age humans need older, more experienced people to make the right decision sometimes. And I mean a lot of times. Player mobility and limiting that and player compensation, it is viewed as a violation at the absolute highest level of someone's existence as a person. When you were, I think, though, that it might actually be better for that young person. What do you know and what do you have against young people? And it may even go to other, like, what do you have against basketball players? What do you have against female athletes? What do you have against black athletes? What do you have against athletes from different socioeconomic backgrounds? And so it's easier just to say, yeah, I don't have any opinion about any of that. So this is the truth. 18 to 22, that's what I'm saying, college-age human. They need older people to make the right decision sometimes. I was walking across campus. I was in college, and I was pretty boring, responsible, sort of intelligent. I made decent enough grades, college student, but I was a college student. I'm 19, 20 maybe. Hey, give you a 2-liter Pepsi and a T-shirt if you apply for a credit card. They do that on college campuses in common areas. Credit card companies don't do that outside, like, AARP meetings or the Berkshire Hathaway Investor Conference. They go to a teenager or an early 20s college student and go, give you a 2-liter if you give us all your information here, and then sign up for a credit card at 24.9. And college kids do that. You know why? Because they're in college. I told you, IROC Z28 mullet. Like, and I made, by and large, decent enough decisions. So when you're in college and you're talking about being, now I'll admit, one of the gears in the machines, one of the cogs in the gears, if you are an actual product, you may not care about the big picture. You may care about, no, I'm the product, I'm going to get paid. I promise you what we see tomorrow, we've already had sort of new bends on this. I'm announcing early I'm going to be in the portal to sort of get a little bit of a headline. That has become sort of such a normal thing that now either you do that or you sort of lose that ability to get noticed because there's so many. That'll all become official tomorrow. And again, not popular to say, 18 to 22-year-olds shouldn't necessarily be trusted with so many wide open, no consequence decisions. And when you can transfer anywhere you want for any reason you want, many times as you want, then that is a no consequence outcome. And so forethought, just as it's the brain, it's the gray matter. Hadn't watered enough, sunshine, grown enough, whatever. Long range planning, like depth of character, like, that's just not an 18, 19, 20-year-old, that's not where any of us should turn to looking for that stuff in buckets. Shouldn't have looked at me for that when I was that age. Well, that's brought to you by ThisStuffMatters.net, and that's what matters to me today. All right. Like I said, big day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. Appreciate Josh Ward and Drew DeArmond and Palmer Tom's coming on. Appreciate David. Appreciate Heath. Appreciate all of y'all coming in for the 2 hours. Give us 22. We will recharge the batteries. And this time tomorrow, I'll be back for another wonderful conversation where we discuss college football.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.